Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And every other week we have a clinical psychologist, Dr. John Duffy, in the studio with us. So welcome back, Dr. John Duffy.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Your book, The Available Parent, is helpful and wonderful. That's out there. And your podcast, Undue Anxiety, is pretty fantastic. So good work on that.
Thanks so much.
John, since we saw you last, some horrible things have happened, most notably in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And you wanted to talk about that a little bit. There's a little bit of a profile, isn't there?
There is a little bit of a profile. So when we look at these mass shootings, when I started my career, one of the first things that happened on a national scale was this the shooting in Columbine. And so we started looking for these young men who were disenfranchised, had been bullied in some way, were disconnected. And the profile we came up with then holds to an extent now. This guy in Las Vegas happens to be a little bit of an outlier, but by and large, when you're looking at mass shootings, you're looking at young white men, typically, who feel disenfranchised in some way and tend to be socially disconnected in some profound way, right? So they're not enjoying their lives, and there's this element of bitterness that they experience. So there's a bit of retribution that they express in some way or another, and that's what they're trying to accomplish in these heinous acts.
Paddock is quite a bit older than the norm and was quite a bit wealthier than the norm.
Right. So what I've been reading about him lately, and you can feel that people are kind of frantically trying to figure out, you know, what is it about this guy? Because he's, you know, decades older than the norm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people come down to, well, men aren't playing, but they look at this guy and they say, well, he was gambling the day before. So they talk about like the nature of play and connecting, and they say like gambling is not a form of connecting. It's a solo act, pretty much, isn't it? Exactly. It's passing time, right? And for him, I think it was just a pastime, but it was very much a solo act. So the guess would be that this was a very disconnected guy. And maybe that's where his bitterness fell.
I don't know what changed, but I know that probably 10 years ago, maybe a little longer, probably 20 years ago, it was okay for men to be sensitive. It was okay for a man to cry. Girls kind of liked that. Bill, that's good news for you because you cry at a lot of movies.
Yeah.
But that was something that was addressed on television, in sitcoms. Women like to see the softer side of a man to know that they're human just like us.
Yeah.
However, there's been a shift to, you know, oh, man up, don't be a baby.
Right.
Why? And is that contributing to some of this?
I think it absolutely is. You're right. About 10 years ago, there were these fire circles, right? These guys getting around with other guys. They're talking about their feelings.
I love you, man.
Yeah. There's hugs going all the way around.
It was, you know, awesome.
Goodwill, right? And that did fall away. I think part of it was that there were a couple of gurus during that time, John Gray, Wayne Dyer, who are no longer kind of at the forefront.
Yeah.
And so this old, really kind of outdated archetype of the American man, of the strong American man, that kind of like be a man, step up, you know, no emotion, that whole
and
vibe.
And make me dinner while you're at it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it is going backwards.
We feel like we're kind of stepping way back in time, right? I mean, and it is an outdated mode. And I see it in the young men I work with because they feel the dissonance because they know, most of my peers, they don't want to be that way. They want to be kind of like emotionally available to one another. They want to be the hugging kind of guys, right, who are connecting with other guys and playing with other guys. And, you know, and yet in my generation, in our generation, you know, Bill, I think you are an anomaly. I think most guys are kind of very serious, feel a bit disconnected, and also a little bitterness that they may feel like, even if I'm doing well, I might have a house in the suburbs, I might be making decent money, I might be married with children, but the end of my story is apparent to me. So there's nothing exciting about my life. All the good stuff's behind me. And so there's this kind of depression and anxiety that sets in. Mm-hmm. And I see it all the time, you guys.
There's another thing I'm noticing, that a lot of white men that are around our age, and it's weird that you say the kids today are embracing each other and being there and comfort one another.
Yeah.
But there's this age group that we're kind of in the midst of that you know, all of a sudden the white man feels like he's the minority. Like, I've seen various posts on Facebook, like, unless I'm transgender or a different race, I get no attention. What is that?
Right. So there's this undercurrent based on media that the white man is under attack somehow, right? So
how could anyone see that?
I think the point is when I've talked to men, they say, you know, like, we're vilified just for what we were born with,
right,
or the way we were born looking. Meanwhile, everybody else's rights, women, the LGBTQ community, everybody else's rights are being fought for. And
so they feel left out?
We're not only left out, but a lot of white men feel victimized, as if, like, you know, we're the victims. We're the
sure.
bad guys. We're the villains. And you guys were talking about, like, Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
And you know, how, as horrible as the things he did were, I think a lot of people feel like, you know, oh yeah, this is another attack on white men.
Remember that Chris Rock joke where he goes, there's not a white man in America who would trade places with me, and I'm rich.
Yes.
There's something yes. to that, isn't
oh,
there?
Oh, it's 100% true. When you really bring it down to that, I mean, that's an absolute fact. So I think we're a little myopic about, like, really our worldview here, because we really do believe, a lot of white men do believe, they're in some kind of disenfranchised minority, when in fact I don't think our position has changed really much at all.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, this is a person who might need to reach out to you, because all in caps, once again, Wendy, you have no idea what you're talking about. It is not going backwards. It does seem like we are moving backwards a little bit.
Right. And I don't think you're missing the boat, Wendy. I think that if you're looking at the our generation, men 50 and up or so, there is this step backwards that we've taken where there's movement. And to the texter's point, there is enormous movement among young men to connect. And to kind of that fire circle feeling is kind of coming back to that group. Where I think we need change is in an older generation. So we're modeling something good for these guys. And, mm-hmm. and they don't experience this dissonance, like, you know, well, my dad is one way, but all my friends are a different way,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
I got to read this text, too. I agree completely. If you work in big corporate America, it's totally unpopular to be white and straight. What are your thoughts on that, John Duffy?
Wait, don't give them yet, John. Let's
okay.
take a quick
All
break.
Right. Deal.
And then John's thoughts on that and other things, if you want to jump in, easy to do, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. John Duffy's here. Dr. John Duffy to you. Thank you very much. Wendy, if you have that text handy, read
it
again.
We were discussing a kind of a profile that's going on with these mass shootings, and it seems to be white men.
Yeah.
And we had brought up that sometimes white men feel like all of a sudden they're not getting paid attention to. And someone texted, and listen, I'm not making light of this because truly, if this is how someone feels, valid feelings.
Sure.
They texted, I agree completely. If you work in big corporate America, it's totally unpopular to be white and straight.
Yeah, I think there's probably some truth to that, but it's missing a broader point. I mean, the fact that it is popular to be female or to be gay, I don't think that takes anything away from us. And I think that's what we're missing in the broader picture, is that we're not really losing anything. And collectively, culturally, we're gaining all this expertise and all these different points of view. And so if we can get out of our own heads and recognize, like, okay, maybe culturally we haven't taken advantage of all the talent that's out there because of some biases that we've held for generations or decades at the very least, and that nobody's looking to take anything from white men. It's an add. It's not a subtraction.
But maybe white guys, after centuries of being entitled to almost everything, all of a sudden the pie is divvied up a different way. Maybe all of a sudden guys are going, hey, what happened to the
right.
old days when I just got stuff because I'm a white guy?
That's true.
Right?
Years ago I worked in corporate America, and all the corner offices were white men.
Yeah, sure.
And that's changing now. And that may feel a little bit like, well, geez, we're losing something really important to us here.
Yeah.
But maybe that's not our birthright. You know what
right.
I mean? Maybe it's like something that now we all have to earn no matter who we are.
Best person for the job, man, woman, black, white,
yeah.
Asian. Another text here. If you haven't noticed, being as blind as you are, Nice texters today, by the way. Thanks, 630. In most TV shows and commercials, there's always a minority helping out a dumb white guy. If it was the other way around, it would be racist.
You know what? I do notice that. You know what I mean? Right? Homer. Is always the dumb guy, right?
Sure.
And I suppose there'd be some backlash. But then again, that's a 30-year-old show, too.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? So I think that's even balancing out in pop culture a little bit more than it used to be. But part of the reason that I think white men were targets in sitcoms is because they held these esteemed positions. So it was not that difficult to take a little target practice
Absolutely.
On us because we had everything, you know, and we still kind of do, you know, it hasn't changed that dramatically. If you look at kind of demographics.
Yeah. Let's go back to the psyche of the shooter in Las Vegas for just a little bit. Here's something that we brought up on the show last week, right after it happened. And I'm curious to get your take on it. You could almost draw a line from a person that wants revenge to somebody who says, I didn't get a job because of that guy or those people, or I lost the love of my life because of that guy. So I'm going to seek revenge. But for somebody to go up, on a high floor of a hotel and shoot at random strangers, what could the gratification possibly be there?
It's virtually impossible to know. But you know, one thing we're not talking enough about is that by definition, this man was mentally ill.
Sure.
Right? So he may not have had much in the way of rational perspective on what he was doing. And I know that seems kind of betrayed by the fact that this seems super well planned out, right?
Yeah.
So it seems like, well, this was deliberate. He must have been angry at somebody about something. And that may very well be true, but he may also have just lost his compass of reason.
Yeah.
And if he's disconnected from culture and society enough, he just might be angry to be disconnected. He might be angry literally at everybody.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. When it came out that perhaps he targeted Lollapalooza mm-hmm. and had gotten rooms at the Blackstone Hotel and then just didn't show up for it when Lollapalooza was going around, you see a lot of teenagers
yes.
and young adults, and that hit close to home all of a sudden. Has that come up at all? Are people concerned about going out and doing things?
I was actually out of town last week, and I got texts from parents and kids, a whole bunch of people, and I've been talking about it all week this week, who were anxious and concerned, and, you know, is this something we need to worry about, and, you know, and letting me know this. So, yeah, I think it kind of shifts the culture.
It hit home all of a sudden.
Hit home very hard, you know, because, you know, I had a boy in my office the other day who was trying to determine whether the stage that he attended was safe enough and whether he'll be safe next year if he goes back to Perry's stage.
That's
what do you tell a kid? What do you say that you can't stop your life, that, you know, the chances of it happening are so low, but never know that tomorrow's going to be here. I don't know what you say to them.
It's the only thing to say, right? I mean, because to encourage young people to, you know, go through their lives frightened, right, and to act as if they are, all of a sudden we all become kind of on some level agoraphobic, right? Because our
yeah.
safety zones narrow and narrow and narrow until they become like our homes, you know? And so that's not a reasonable way to live. Are we at risk anytime we come into the city or anytime we're in a crowd? To some degree, but it's not to a great degree. As much as this stuff is happening and as heavily as it's reported, it doesn't happen that often, oddly enough. You know what I mean? Like, that might seem like almost a cold thing to say, but if you look kind of at the scope of mass shootings over the last many years, it's happening more frequently, still not that frequently.
Yeah.
It just gets reported 24 hours a day over and over and over again.
I don't know how specific you can get or want to get with this, and if you can't, don't. But have you ever dealt with a patient that you thought was headed towards something as horrible as what just took place in Las Vegas?
Yes.
You have?
There have been two or three young men who I thought, something like this could happen. Like,
what
this
do you
could
do
be
in a case like that?
So in a way, what you find out these guys need is an ear. They need empathy. They need somebody to hear them out.
Right.
Because there's too many people telling them either that they're losers and nobody cares about them. That's what they hear at school, or that's what they perceive at school if nobody's addressing them. And sometimes they feel like they're concerns are dismissed at home. And so once you hear them out, sometimes you'll see them lighten up like within an hour, Bill. I mean, you know, so, you know, I get this distinct impression that it's just moments, like these moments of connection that would change everything for these disenfranchised men.
Right.
You know, and young men in particular.
Yeah. I'm trying to learn from you because when a kid comes up and says something like, you know, oh, I got a D on a test, instead of railing into, well, you should have studied more, you should have... Oh, that, you got to just say something like, that sucks. God, I remember I got a D and it made me feel terrible. And then all of a sudden, honestly, you really have taught me that, and other people as well, because their eyes light up like, wow, you get it. You just listen to me.
It's the first thing any of us need, right? If you think about like any discussion that you're having, like with a spouse, with a friend, with a coworker, if you don't feel heard at the onset, it doesn't matter what happens next, right? Because it's like, well, you're not listening to me in the first place. So whatever you have to say now is not in direct reference to what I'm saying. But if you feel heard, then you feel like, okay, there's some give and take here, and there's some empathy. I'm understood. So even if it's like, Mom, I'm so sorry I got a D on a test, you know, instead of saying, well, you know, why didn't you study harder, you know, to acknowledge like, oh, that sucks. That must feel awful. And then you can talk about what to do. Then you can problem solve a little bit.
That is true, because then you're in the same corner.
Yeah.
It's listening to someone is different from hearing someone, and we all want to be heard. That's the bottom line.
Bottom line.
That's Dr. John Duffy.
Are you talking? Because I'm not hearing you.
No, I'm not going to show you. I'm not going to show you any more of my tests from now on. I told you not to tell John I got a D. Dr. John Duffy has a podcast on WGN Radio Plus, and then also his book is The Available Parent. Thanks, John.
Thank
we'll
you, guys.
In a couple of weeks. A quick break, then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.